session number 26552,
Reel 4. Mr. Kinnear, Reel 4. We were talking about your time at HMS Raleigh Shore Station still, from May onwards, 1943. And we were discussing the sort of training you did. Did you do any signal training or semaphore or any, you know, simple? I mean, just within the basic course.
We did do, but we didn't do a lot of it. It was just very basic.
What level did? What do you remember doing?
Only with arm signalling, you know. And I think we may have used flags.
But it didn't
we
stick.
Didn't. We didn't. It didn't stick anyway. But we didn't do it long enough. We weren't at it long enough.
And any other training you recall that you got? Any other specialist subjects or you know, or introductions to things you got?
No, what we should have told you about was we had a type of course of jabs.
Well, tell us about that.
You know, well, if I recall correctly, we had two lots of jabs. The first one was quite simple, and then we had the second one was a bit heavier dose of things. You know, that was TABT and things like that. So it's all that should be on there.
And did it affect, because some of the lads had real trouble?
Some of them did. Some of them had bad arms. Some lads fainted, one thing or another, you know. What's up with it? Get him up.
And how were you? How did it affect you?
I was all right. Because you just got in line and you just bared your arm. And you went, next, next, next. That's how it was, you know.
Now, we were talking about that. So you'd have training sessions in the morning, then dinner. Training sessions in the afternoon?
Training sessions in the afternoon, yeah.
Now, would you ever have a sports afternoon? You know, where you know, you just did sport. And was always sport part of the life, or have they dropped sport?
No, I don't think we had sports afternoon.
It wasn't important sport at that time.
It was such a hectic course, the 10-week concentrated course, you know.
So then there's tea.
And then there's supper, yeah.
And what about in the evening? I mean, would you have a canteen somewhere where you could go?
Oh, yes, there were canteens there.
Tell us what the canteens were like. What did they offer as well? Because you were a bit short of food by your own account.
We were. So when we went to Stand Easy and you were in the vicinity of the canteen, there was a headlong dive for the canteen. I always remember. A cup of tea and two rock cakes. Rock cakes were a penny each. They're only like that, but they were lovely.
I'd quite small
them.
Then.
Oh, they're quite small. Yeah, rock cakes with it was like little currants in them, things. But I loved them. Of course, you were always ravenous, you know.
And in the evening, were the canteens wet? Was it a wet canteen?
Yeah. Oh yes, there was a wet canteen as well. Yeah.
And could you drink, or did you drink? I mean, you were only just age. In fact,
yeah,
you were underage.
We did have one or two, but again, it was the lack of cash, you see.
You weren't bothered about drinking at the time. It was just.
Oh, not overly bothered. No, no.
And what else was in the canteen? I mean, was there like games or things to do, or you know, or was it just a big empty room?
No, mainly it was just a big empty room you sat round, because, well, we used to have the boxing ring set up in there as well, but you'd have the boxing and things like that, you know.
And did you do any, I mean, would you do it there?
No, I didn't do any. I let the others say, well, sit and watch the others, they're knocking hell out themselves, yeah.
You had more sense.
Yeah.
What about getting ready for kit inspections? Can you talk a bit about, you know, things like polishing your boots, getting your webbing and everything ready? Oh, well, webbing.
Oh, we didn't have webbing, no, but...
No, that's the army, sorry.
But everything else, yeah, everything had to be laid out.
Tell me how you'd prepare for a kit inspection. And what level would you go to with your boots, you know, that sort of thing?
Oh, you had to have them shiny. They had to be spotless, and you made sure that they were. And all your kit had to be laid out in an orderly fashion and in order. And all your kit had to be marked with your name on. It was an offence if they caught you with somebody else's kit, if somebody lent you something and the name's on it, because everything had to be stamped. They gave you a stamp with your, like your stencil. Even the Pusser's Bible I described earlier, the way you marked that, you closed it tight and you put it along the stencil, along all the pages, you know.
At the top?
On the top, yeah. Along the closed book, yeah.
And was it really down to every sock, every pair of underpants, or was it just...
Oh, you had to have two of everything, yeah.
And you stamped your underpants, you know, would you mark everything?
I don't think we marked out underpants and things like that, but...
All your big items.
All the other stuff, yeah. Was.
And when you laid it, how formal was it, the way you laid it out on the bed and everything? I mean, was it as bad as the army? You know, everything had to be...
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about as bad. It was as good
or
as the
good, army. Yes. Sorry.
But, yeah, it was laid out properly.
And what was a kit inspection like?
It wasn't too bad as far as we were concerned, because we were only new in the Navy, because everything was new, and because we were all full of enthusiasm, and it was all laid out. But they'd come along, they'd just inspect it more or less.
Now, what about...
Making sure everything, you had two of everything.
What about, how did you get on with the lads, the recruits? Was McAvoy still about at the time? Or
oh, yeah, well, we used to go ashore together. For the first...
He was ahead of you, though, wasn't he?
He was 2 or 3 weeks ahead of me. But we met up there. And, of course, being pals from working days, they used to come to my mess, and I'd go to his, and we'd go ashore together.
Now, what was he like then? I mean, I'm not talking about now, or what you know about him since, but what was he like as a young kid of 18, or 17, 18?
Yeah. Oh, he was the usual run-of-the-mill. He was the same as myself, you know. Happy-go-lucky, always cheerful, always laughing, always ready to have a joke. A wrestler, things like that with us, you know. Just the usual run-of-the-mill lads, you know.
And he was your best mate out of the class? Well, out of the recruits, was he? Or,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you make other pals in your own actual group?
Oh, yes, I did, yeah.
Anyone in particular?
Yeah, there was a lad called Joe Williams from Birkenhead. I don't know whether he's still around, Joe, but we got separated, unfortunately, after the training school, and I never saw him again.
And what was he like?
Well, he was a typical Birkenhead lad. He was the same as us. We loved a laugh and a joke, you know.
Did you stick together? You know, I mean, your two mates there, both from what I would call Birkenhead, you know, Birkenhead and Wallasey. What about the lads from Newcastle, London, Cockneys? Did you mix well, or was there trouble between the Scots, you know?
No, we mixed well. We always got on well with the Scots, Monty, you know.
It's just a coincidence your mates have, you know, one you already knew and the other one you just tagged along with. It.
That's
but
right.
You
met
well with the others.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was there any bullying at all within the group that you were aware of, either physical or, you know, or mental?
No, there was a couple of mouthy fellas, you know, but you get that anywhere at all. But, no, by and large, not in our mess. No, we were all right. I think the chief PO would have sorted that out. No messing, you know.
Now, I wanted to ask, that's the next question, really. The instructors, how did you get on with them, and what were they like? Give us an idea of what these lads... Because you said the story about the chap at the start suddenly turning on the discipline.
Yeah.
What were they like?
They were very good. Chubby squires, as I've explained. Now, you appreciate that all the huts were blacked out. Now, we had, like, a concertina effect in the doorway of our hut to get out of. And he'd come stand in the morning there, and he'd have his stick there, he'd say, he'd bawl, outside, Navy, bawl in outside, Andrew, whatever. And, of course, you all went, you had to run. That's all, you did everything, you did double. And the last man always got a belt. Bang, that's for being last. Make sure you're not last tomorrow.
With what?
Whatever he had in his hand. Well, it wasn't a belt, it was be a stick or whatever, you know. The baton.
Would it hurt, or did it never happen to you?
Oh, well, I don't think it ever happened to me. No, but it hurts, yeah. But it livened them up. It didn't kill you kind of thing, you know.
A livener.
Oh, it certainly was a livener. And the same with the PTIs. Now, there is an incident with the PTIs, and they'd have you do, I told you, racing round, up the wall bars, do this, do that, do the other. And if you didn't do it properly... I always remember this PTI said, that's it. There was always sailors have been in the Navy longer than you. They've been put in there for the rest. And they were called a part of shipmen, you know, the ship's company. Right. Able Seaman, go and get me an Astonicky. And he looked at us, me looking at him, and the Stonic here, he says, never heard of an Stonic here, have you? You will. And he come back. And this Stonic here was like a long canvas shaped club. It was made of canvas, and it was full of sand. And he got the loose end round, he's going up. Right, double mark time. Right, racing round the perimeter. Move yourselves, move. Bang! And they did this. Oh. And he hit him a swipe across the backside. And the lads, wow, he jumped up. Because he only had a little thin pair of shorts or nothing else, you know. I'll move you. He said, I'll shift you. Oh. They used to knock hell out of me. That was the Astonicky. Now,
I don't think we were meant to use them at that time. I'm not sure, but...
Oh, they were, yeah. Oh, anything mentioned those days, yeah. I'll show you. Now you know what an Astonicky is. I'll tell you how we spell it. A-R-S-E-T-O-N-I-C-H-E-Y. Arstonic, eh? An Astonicky.
And did you ever get the benefit of it?
No, I always made well clear. You know, I was quick. I was made sure I wasn't.
What did you think of the instructors? I mean, were they good? I mean, did they know the stuff, or were they a bit over the top with that sort of treatment, or were they fair? Were they fair? That's
no.
It, you know.
They were good. There was no doubt about it. They were good. And some of these, our fella had been through it, you see, at San Nazaire and places like that. And they had been through it in the early parts of the world. But these were regular Navy men, you know. He was, I always remember, he was 36, which was old to us in them days, you know. And he was very old, 36. And
Did he keep an eye out for the ones who weren't doing so well? I mean, would he be sympathetic to a lad that was perhaps having a bit of trouble? Not a bad lad, but a lad that was just a bit slow or something.
No, I don't think they ever showed any sympathy. You know, because that would be classed as being sissyish kind of thing, you know, and being soft with them. No, they made you move. I told you, it was outside Navy, bang, you were the last one.
They were hard.
Oh, they were hard, yeah.
But they knew the stuff.
Oh, they knew the stuff, yeah.
And much contact with officers?
Officers would come to instruct you in various things, you know. We had one fellow, we called him Karloff, because he was shell-shocked. And his face, and he had this beard, and his face had been contorting it, and doing all sorts of things, you know. But he was good. But I just had some teeth done. Oh, that was another thing. We all had to go through the dentist.
Tell us about that.
Oh, right. They said to us this day, right, dentist, you know, the whole lot of us.
Compulsory.
Right. Oh, compulsory, yeah. You went through, right. And the lad said, I hope we don't get that number six. A great big fella, big black beard, one thing or another. God, you seen the size of him? You know what we're like? You know, very apprehensive. What are they going to do to us? I got number six, didn't I? Anyway, sit back, lad, relax. He was a good dentist. And I had to have a couple of teeth out, I think, and a couple drilled, filled, something like that. And, he said, yeah, you're a good patient you are, lad. He said, go on, next. I got on all right with him. So you just did as you were told, and that's what I found out. You do as they tell you, and he'd say, relax your jaw, lad. You know, it's hard to relax when something sticks out your throat. But
it was painless, isn't it? It's not like it is now. It used to hurt, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Had you had dental treatment before? I mean,
yes, at school. But we used to have gas in them days, you know. Oh, that was terrible, that gas.
They knocked you out?
They knocked us out in them days, yeah. Yeah, they gave you steel, wedged in your mouth to bite on. And then they put this mask over, and it stunk. Oh, it was a terrible smell. I can still smell it now.
So you'd had dental treatment, you know?
Oh, we'd had dental treatment and before at school.
Were your teeth hurting, or was this precautionary?
Oh, no, this was precautionary. Oh, no, I'd had no trouble with my teeth.
They just wanted to make sure your teeth were okay for later on when you went to sea.
That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, they looked after your health all right, you know.
Now, you... You're actually going on. It's my fault. I interrupted you. You were going to talk about an officer, about this dental treatment, and then something was to do with an officer. If you want to carry on that story, sorry about that.
Oh, right. It was just this officer, a big black beard, and they said it looked like Blackbeard the Pirate kind of thing, you know, but he turned out to be a smashing fella, you know, and he was a damn good dentist. And I come out, and he said, what do you know? But he said, what's he like, Scouse? You know, because that, coming from Liverpool area, we were Scouse. What was he like? Oh, yeah, nothing wrong with the man, it's all right. The next one's going in very apprehensive kind of thing.
Now, anything else? How long were you there for?
10 weeks in all.
So that would be through till about July?
It would be, yeah.
And did they let you out at all? I mean, into the town or anything?
Oh, yeah. But the first, I can't remember, it was a week or 10 days, you weren't allowed out of the barracks. And after that, then they would allow you out. Within reason, you know, you surely, you had to be back by a certain time. So, yes, we were allowed out.
And what would you do when you went out?
Well, we usually used to get the chain ferry across and through the dockyard then, and on the corner right opposite the main gate was this little cafe. We'd go in there and have a feed. I always remember it was the cheapest one, cottage pie, but we used to enjoy that. Then we'd go out wandering all around the town. You might go to the pictures, or you'd wander around the town, you know, because we had no cash.
So no pubbing?
No, not in them days, no. We might go into a pub once and have a pint, but we couldn't afford it. You must appreciate, we only got paid fortnightly, and we had to leave an allotment to our mothers, you see. Now, I used to get 28 shillings one fortnight. That's like 14 shillings a week. And 30 shillings the following fortnight. That's how much we got. But you had to maintain all your kit, buy all your soap, your essentials, you know, your toothpaste, whatever, out of all that.
So what would you spend the rest on? I mean, what would you spend your pay on? It sounds like you spent it mainly on rock cakes.
Rock cakes and tea, yeah, yeah. And something to eat. Always something to eat. I suppose we did get some chocolate, but I don't know about that so much, because there was not about, everything was rationed then, wasn't it? But we did the best we could, you know, but if we could have a feed, we'd have a feed.
And now, what? As you were coming to the end of your time, were you specialising, or did you decide to specialise, or did they do any aptitude tests on you to see what you should, you know, because they pick off people to go off and do various things, don't
yeah,
they?
Well, they asked us all what we would like to do. What would you like to specialise in, this, that and the other? No, well, we were concerned with this. No, we want to go to sea on a destroyer, seaman gunner, something like that. As long as we got to sea, that was the main thing, you know. So that's how it finished up. I went to sea as a seaman. I never qualified as a gunner, but I was part of the gun's crew.
Well, cool. So what was the next stage then? You finished in about July,
yeah,
10 weeks, so sometime July. Might have just been into August, mightn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says 26th of July, it says you. And Pembroke, now where's Pembroke? That's Pembroke Barracks.
Pembroke was Chatham Barracks.
Sorry, I meant. And that was your next place you went to, was it?
That's where we were detailed off. Now, I don't know what happened, but there was three of us were sent to Chatham. I think there was another three went to Portsmouth, and all the rest went to HMS Drake in Plymouth, now, Devonport, you know.
How did you feel about it? Because that made your home port from then on was
Chatham. Oh, I thought Chatham would go, so I was made up, we're going to Chatham.
Why was that considered better?
Well, we'd seen HMS Drake, and of course it was in Plymouth and it was a long way away, but Chatham was nearer London, and one thing another, you know. So we thought Chatham was that's the best berth, you know. Didn't fancy Pompey, that was Portsmouth, didn't fancy Guz, which was the Drake, you know, at Devonport. So we went to Chatham, and we didn't know what it was like till we got there, did we?
Now, what was it like? What was life like in Pembroke Barracks? What were the barracks like?
Like being in prison.
In what way? Tell us about it.
It was easier to get in and out of Dartmoor than it was to get in and out of Chatham Barracks.
In what way?
You had to have what they called... what was that card?
Doesn't matter.
The ship's card. I can't remember the...
Boarding card or something.
No, it wasn't a boarding card.
Doesn't matter. So what, you had to have this card?
Yeah, it'll come to me eventually. And that way you couldn't go anywhere without that. Card. You know, there were statues there, figureheads of all the old sailing ships. And going up the avenue as you first came in, you ran the gauntlet. There was all sorts of Gestapos, we call them, gunnery instructors. One thing, or the white gaiters, one. And they'd search in your head to foot, looking at you, you know, see if there's anything amiss with your clothing. And coming out was the same. And you couldn't go anywhere without this card. What was the name of it?
So it was a very strict discipline.
Oh, it was. And then, of course, we went up to the... If you went onto the parade ground, you doubled across it. If you went past the gunnery school, you doubled across it. If you went past this line of figureheads, you doubled past across it. Everything was up to double.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was a load of bull. No, stupid.
You couldn't see any point to it?
No, no. When we were coming ashore, if we were allowed out, we were watching ashore, used to fall in on the terrace and you'd be inspected by the officer of the day and the GP or what, a duty PO, whatever it was. And he said, right, and where you go? And you make your way down then to the exit gates. And you went past these statues again. And then you run the gauntlet. And it was the gauntlet. So two lines of these gunnery instructors. Now, you'd already been inspected and passed by an officer, plus POs. That wasn't good enough for these fellas. Come here, you. If they didn't like your face, come here, you. Get back and get that suit changed. Get back and put a clean lanyard on. Get back and do this. You know, get back and whiten that hat if it was summer, you know. Get back and polish them shoes. The things that they would do, you know.
And not fair.
It wasn't fair, no. And that was before... You'd already been inspected and passed by an officer and his crowd, you know. And then you went down and you had to go run the gauntlet of this crowd there. Station card. Where's your station card?
And were you picked up by these? Because you were a pretty good... From the sound of it, you towed the line. Would they pick up? Did they ever pick on you and send you back?
I don't think they did. But when we got into barracks, you see, if you came in from sea, you were inspected. And they'd read you all the rules and regulate. And no buckle shoes allowed in barracks. Now, we favoured buckle shoes. But in the Navy, they were called slippers for evening dress, evening wear, you see. In the evening, you took your collar, your blue collar off, and you just had your navy blue blouse on, you see, and you had buckle shoes, they were allowed. But they were lovely and comfortable, those shoes, and they looked smart. And of course, I always wore them. One time I'm going into barracks, I'm coming from sea, and I never had anything else, only buckle shoes. And the first thing they says, and there'd be no buckle shoes allowed in barracks during the day, and this. I said, oh, hell. So I'm standing there, and they're going to get inspected, so I'm going like this, you see, get the bell bottoms over the buckles and trying to stay straight, and I got away with it.
And what would you do? Would you go into Chatham for the evening, or would you go to London when you got past these chaps?
We'd go into Chatham because you couldn't go to London unless you had what they called a Friday, while that's a weekend off. You see.
And what was Chatham like? Was it welcoming there?
Well, it was just chock a block with sailors, soldiers, air force, everything, you know.
Any trouble?
Oh,
they always mixed.
There was trouble. There was trouble, but I always avoided it.
You just kept out of trouble.
Yeah, they did well, was there? I never got any. Not I remember.
Did you have any duties while you were there? I mean, proper duty. Anything serious to do?
Yeah. Well, We were hauled in this day. The first time we went in, me and this Joe Williams, we're wandering around like lost souls. And this PO, come here, you two. Where are you? Where did you come in yesterday, Chief? You know, I say, what block are you in? Handsome block, Chief. Right. What duties have you got? Well, we haven't been given anything yet, Chief. And he looked at us, he says, here, get down to the drill shed, and you go in the drill shed, and you go to the regulating, was it, something like that. Anyway, went into the administration place. Tell them I sent you, Chief so-and-so, you know, right, Chief. Went there, and they to give you a job. It was a messman's job. So we were in the mess.
What were doing what?
Collecting all the food from the galley and dishing it out. So we lived like fighting cocks while we were in there.
But you didn't have to do the kitchen fatigues, cleaning the plates and the rest of it? Were you just doling out, were you? Or?
No, I don't remember washing plates and things. We did all the dishing out and munting, the fetching and carrying, what have you.
That was a much prized job.
Oh, it was. Very good, yeah.